tender and warm. Down in the Ozark, back on the farm.
Come on in and set a spell now, neighbors. Here's that lovable First Lady of the Ozarks, Mae Kennedy McCord, ready to chat with you about this, that, and the other in Ozark folklore and traditions. Generally speaking, to help brighten up your Saturday. Boy, we need some brightening in our corner today, Mae. Good morning, Mae.
Good morning, Fred. Right in the corner where you are, yes, sir. Soggy looking outside. My, it's soggy. And thank you, Fred. And good morning, friends, and how are you all this morning? In a world so disturbed and so full of trouble, almost all of it is the result of wars and rumors of wars. Oh, land. I've heard war till I'm sick. It's a wonder we can have any peace or contentment at all, isn't it? But with it all, our lot here in America is so much better, we have to keep thinking that, than the lot of two-thirds of the world, that we ought to be grateful. And I'm sure the most of us are. I was reading an article last night about refugees, how they pour into Hong Kong, trying to get away from the red Chinese, you know, and they can't feed them, and they have nowhere for them to sleep or stay. Oh, it's a terrible thing. And then those that try to escape the Berlin Wall by swimming it, many been shot in the water, and by jumping from high housetops and everything, crawling through dark tunnels, anything on earth to get into freedom. We've never had any of that. I wonder if we could take it. I don't know. We're kind of a sissy bunch, I'm afraid. We're sort of soft and spoiled, you know, here in America, in a free land. I so often think of the Hungarians, how they were fired upon with machine guns, even the children killed, and how they tried to get away in any way they could to get to freedom. I have a touching little poem, and to me there's always room for a poem, because poetry will live long after history has passed away from memory. Did you know that? This is War Refugee. I was born at midnight in an old log hut. The panes were all out and the door wouldn't shut. There wasn't any bed and there wasn't any cover. And the rain cried at the casement like a lonesome lover. There wasn't any stove and there weren't any chairs. The wild wind whistled through the chill and raw. There wasn't any carpet and there wasn't any stairs. While my mother bore me on a pallet of straw. The rain kept leaking and the old nurse cried, and my mother kissed me before she died. Well, I want to mention one more thing, then I'll try to come out of the jitters. It's kind of a blue morning. It don't do any good to mention it, though. It's that we are still killing more people by automobile crashes than were killed by all the wars America ever had. And they go on and on and on, and nobody does very much about it. And it's always on account of the nuts behind the wheel instead of the bolts in the mechanism. Nuts and bolts, you know. So here is the time to read you the little verse I read a year or two ago, and it hits the spot. Now listen to it. It says, you can never go wrong with a song. So these are the songs you must sing while you speed down the road with your instrument of sudden death. At 45 miles an hour, you can sing Highways or Happy Ways. At 65 miles an hour, sing I'm But a Stranger Here, Heaven Is My Home. At 75 miles an hour, you can sing Nearer My God to Thee, because you are at 75. At 85 miles an hour, sing When the Roll Is Called Up Yonder, I'll Be There. Well, the only thing is, the only catch, I hope that you'll be there when the roll's called and you get mashed in your 85 miles an hour. You know, you sit and listen to the news at night and it's just this crash and that crash and that in the hospital. Well, it's awful. Well, I want to wish some happy birthdays. Mrs. Lula Brookshire of Springfield was 88 day before yesterday. She's the mother of our Judge Brookshire. Happy birthday to you, my dear, and may you have many more of them. You know, you haven't had enough yet. 88. That's not enough. From the bulletin of my pastor down home at Galena, Pastor John Whitmer, I take this little Bible passage from the Psalms for you this morning, Miss Brookshire. It says, "Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall bring forth fruit in old age." And Lola Perdue at Red Top writes me that her father, who is my old and dear friend, Uncle Billy Hayden of Red Top, Missouri, is 100 years old today. Today. The great day. My, my. I knew you were going to make it, Uncle Billy. You know, I told you so when I was there last time I saw you. You're a pretty sturdy customer, you know. I wish I could be there today on your birthday, but you know the old saying, if wishes were horses, beggars would ride. But it doesn't hurt to wish anyway. Happy birthday to you on this, your first century. Now, what about the next century? You know, they always say the living the first century is the hardest. Mrs. Perdue tells me that Uncle Billy is still very active in his mind. What a man, what a man. I believe this is the sixth or the seventh birthday that I've had the privilege of wishing Mr. Hayden, W.D. Hayden, lovingly known as Uncle Billy, to all his friends and folks, wishing him happy birthday. Mrs. Roy Janes writes me of another coming birthday. Mrs. Ida Williams of Mount Vernon will be 96 on November the 25th. Isn't it wonderful how our old Ozark people live? And Mrs. Williams is extremely well for her age and a regular attendant at the Presbyterian Church in Mount Vernon. She makes her home with her daughter, Miss Elizabeth Hillhouse. Her birthday comes on a Sunday, and she's awfully fond of birthday cards. And this is a week early, so some of you try to remember to send her a card. To Mrs. Ida Williams, Mount Vernon, Missouri, 96. Thanks for a letter and photo from little Miss Diane Turner, 9 years old, at Bakersfield, Missouri. I love to hear from the children. Little Diane even wrote a poem for me, her very own. She said, "This is my poem." And it's good, here it is. She says, "I went for a walk, and what did I see? The sun in the sky shining down on me." Now, I'll bet you that a lot of us big folks can't beat that one. It's got good meter, it's a good poem. Miss Thelma Schott at Halfway, Missouri, wrote me and sent me a picture of a large and freakish-looking turnip that they raised. And her little granddaughter, Gwendolyn, is holding it. And it's a wonder. Kind of a long turnip. It is a strange turnip. Miss Schott said it was 22 inches in circumference, 13 inches long, weighed 3 pounds. It had shrunk some when they picked it and the picture was taken. It was rather dry looking. My, we sure do raise things in this astonishing God's country, the Ozarks, don't we? Thanks so much, Mrs. Schott, for letting me see the picture of the turnip. Also for your sweet letter to me. And give my love to little Gwendolyn and to all of your household and loved ones. Mrs. Schott said she likes turnips, but she didn't want them often. Well, you remember what dear old Booth Campbell down in Arkansas said. He said, "Well, turnips beats nothing. I've tried them both." I surely do. Now, as for me, I'm very fond of turnips. And now, this is the way I cook them. If they're fresh and sweet and good turnips and cooked with as one stick of margarine in your batch and a third of a cup of sugar besides your salt, I could eat them every day of my life. You try some. My turnip kraut is coming along and is nearly made. That Mr. Earl Russell gave me the turnips. You remember that I read recently something from a book I have by Mirandy, the radio star out in California, Breezes from Persimmon Holler. Someone wrote me asking me where she could get the book, or was it a man? I can't think. I don't know if I've mislaid it, but I'll answer your letter. I don't know if the book is now available. It was printed by the Oxford Press, Hollywood, California. Mirandy sent me mine some 10 years ago. I'll write to the California Publishing Company and see if I can find out if they have any of them left. I think I've lost Mirandy's address, but I don't know whether she's on radio, but anyway, she lives in Topanga Canyon, and I think I could reach her, too. And I'll send you the poem you wanted, too, when I find your letter, which I have mislaid. Thanks to women who sent me trading stamps this morning, I feel so grateful. And Eula, talked to me this morning, she said she got a lot. One woman sent her 9 books full. And she said there were different schools and PTAs and the children all going to send the stamps. My, my. I believe I've got all the women written to now who've sent me stamps. If they haven't, write me a card and I'll answer it. Thanks so many times, over and over. Things are coming along fine. And speaking of Miranda's book again, I notice that she has a mighty cute little squib in it talking about democracy. She says democracy is like a raft. Everybody has to help steer it. It's mighty ungainly and hard to handle. You're up to your knees in water half the time, but you can't sink the darn thing. That's the way she said it. And I believe they're all beginning to realize that all around this old world, don't you? Thanksgiving will soon be here, as I said, and my heart is overflowing with gratitude for so many things. You know, I told you one time, a man said, if you're not in the hospital, you're a king. And if your kids are not in the penitentiary, you're 3 times a king. Oh, my. Be grateful, and chiefly that larks still singing bravely fly. Our poet Margaret Lucas at Crane said that so beautifully in a poem. Glad that larks still singing bravely fly, that they may yet sing and fly without the fear of guns. I was reading a little Thanksgiving piece the other day. It said that we always think of the Pilgrim Fathers who landed here on the rough and stormy coast as old men. At least a way along in years, some way we think of so many of the people of the past as old, even Jesus Christ. He's 33 when he died, just a boy. We call that a boy now, nearly. Well, the Pilgrims were not old. The oldest man they had was William Brewster, who was 54. Some were in their 40s. Miles Standish, their military captain, was only 36. And William Bradford, their future governor, was 31. And Edward Winslow was 23. And John Alden, famous as a lover in his romance, was 23. All the rest were under 30. What did they have within them that made them bear those tragically cold winters and all that privation and danger? They wanted what all people crave, freedom. There's nothing on earth like freedom. If you don't know what it is, just be shut away from it for a while. Life did not bring me silken gowns nor jewels for my hair, nor let me see the foreign towns and distant countries fair. The brambled cares of every day, the tiny humdrum things, may bind my feet when they would stray, but oh, my heart has wings. I'm so grateful for memory, that I can live with the ones I loved in memory and have roses in December. So may God walk through your house and make it strong, even if it's old and leans like a broken tree, for there is more to it than floors of pine and walls and ceiling. There is memory. Goodbye, and I'll be seeing you next Saturday, the Lord willing, the Greek don't fall.